Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, is Mr. Spencer. Hasn't gotten the vaccine, but it's scheduled for the appointment, Williams.
Just airing everybody's business out there on this podcast, aren't we?
I'm excited that I got mine, so I'm just saying.
Really, he's just rubbing my face in his vaccine.
You know, hey, we're talking about, you know, things. Speaking of viral invaders, we got a returning guest, my brother, who he guested one time before. I don't recall, but either way, he is back for his return appearance, Mr. Benny Villanueva.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Hey.
Well, that was an interesting intro you gave me. Thank you.
Yeah, he likes to do
that. It happens. And speaking of which, we have a great show in store for you, as we are going to be talking about the recently dropped HBO WB film. I think we're going to be saying that a lot, HBO WB.
At first I was like, why is HBO involved?
When isn't HBO involved? The HBO WB film Godzilla vs. Kong. So stick around as we talk about that. But before we do, Spencer, give them opening credits.
Tune in each and every Wednesday morning on all your favorite stream platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
That's right. You can check us out on our website at filmlosophers.com. We got over 250 episodes. We just did an incredible two-part review with the Capeless Crusaders of Sacramento in reviewing, again, HBO and WB's, the Snyder Cut of Justice League.
Don't forget AT&T owns
it. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, owned by a plethora of corporations, if you will. But check that out. It's a two-parter, and they're back-to-back. They were great episodes. Check them out on our website, filmlosophers.com, and on anywhere that's streaming at iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Player FM, Spotify, Audio Boom, and Pandora! I miss saying that often. It used to be more regular in the notes. And then we got too big for our britches and I needed Spencer to do something.
Okay.
But you know what? I am excited about today's episode because we are going to be talking about a film that has been anticipated for quite a while. And that is Godzilla vs. Kong. This movie has been one of those movies that everybody has dreamed about seeing, either remade or reimagined, as the original one did debut back in during the 70s. I'm not too sure. I didn't write that down.
But this 1963, it's listed in your notes.
Is it? Holy smokes. Well, there you go. but this movie is one of those ones that's the culmination of a few different films, a few different ideas, and a few different dreams, and now it is on the small and big screen. So, before we get into any more information, Spencer, give him that official synopsis goodness.
Legends collide as Godzilla and Kong, the two most powerful forces of nature, clash on the big screen in a spectacular battle for the ages. As Monarch embarks on a perilous mission into fantastic, uncharted terrain, unearthing clues to the Titan's very origins, a human conspiracy threatens to wipe the creatures, both good and bad, from the face of the earth forever. Yeah, that's there yeah. Twice.
There you go. Directed by Adam Wingard, the film stars Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown, Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Shun Oguri, Eliza Gonzalez. Eliza? That thing's supposed to be Eliza. Julian Dennison, Lance Reddick, Kyle Chandler, and Damien Bichir. I was there. I told you we were going to have a little bit of trouble. Okay.
Good job.
A couple little tidbits about the film. When asked about the apparent height difference between Godzilla and Kong in 2018, Adam Wingard actually said that they gave us a good out in Kong Skull Island back in 2017 when they mentioned that Kong is still growing, but that'll be a challenge when we have to deal with, and we're very aware of that issue. So they're very aware of the difference in sizes from the last film. Another little piece is this is actually the first film in 59 years to feature both King Kong and Godzilla after the aforementioned title King Kong vs. Godzilla back in 1963. And the last piece is that this is actually the fourth installment of the Monsterverse. So you have Godzilla, and then you have Kong Skull Island. What's the other one?
Kong King of Monsters. I mean, Godzilla.
Oh, Godzilla King of Monsters. That's right. Yeah. And then you have this one. Because the Godzilla King of Monsters one, that was with... I don't recall what that one was.
That's where, like, he almost died, and then they had to detonate a nuclear bomb underwater.
Oh, that's right, because that's the that's the one with all the monsters, with Ghidorah and Rodan and Mothra. So we wanted to take the opportunity to discuss, in full spoilery ability, this movie, because of the fact that this is one of those ones that actually looked decent in terms of what was releasing. And as Spencer has stated several times on this show, what is the reason why we picked this one?
What?
Why do we pick the certain movies we do for 2021?
Oh, because that's pretty much all there was available.
Exactly. So I was like, you know this one. Don't play.
I have no idea what you're doing.
You got to roll with the bit. Stick with it. So we decided to bring in a third chair, someone who doesn't normally do podcasts, but he is opinionated all the time, and I should know because I'm his brother. My brother, Ben, who actually saw the film and had some pretty choice thoughts about it. So we'll get into those in a little bit. But first things first, I want to ask Ben here. Ben, what is your full experience with anything within Godzilla or King Kong? What are some of the films you've seen that have to do with not the one in this universe, but another?
So are you talking about the one like in New York with Matthew Broderick?
Broderick.
Well, that was all right. I didn't really like it because Godzilla didn't look like Godzilla. I did watch one of the originals a while back, though, and they never really touched that on the newer movies, so I was just curious to know what they were going to do with that.
Well, and the unique thing about, so one of the little views into the windows of our lives, if you will, one of the things that me and Benny grew up with was a constant feed of different movies and watching things constantly, so...
New and old.
So we have a pretty good history of seeing a plenty good amount of movies, and I'm pretty sure my dad threw in a few Godzilla movies in there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Spencer, let's throw the question over to you. What is your history?
It is pretty much contained to the Matthew Broderick movie and the cartoon show based on the Matthew Broderick movie. So, you know, a real plethora of great Godzilla content there.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So I mean, we have a good swath of modern Godzilla movies, although I don't believe either of you saw Shin Godzilla or Godzilla Shin.
No.
That one was from 2015? Nope. Shin Godzilla.
Which one's that one?
2016. Yeah, it's a pretty epic one. This one has probably the biggest Godzilla in history, in recorded history, because he is...
Is that live action?
It's a live action. Yeah, he's massive, and this is from 2015. Yeah, this is him here.
This is from 2015.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they went homage to the original.
Heck yeah, they did.
But mind you, it's actually good. I mean,
like, I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just like, it's like interesting choice to make it look like it's an older style, which, you know.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the man in the rubber suit's kind of gone away. So I mean, Power Rangers is still around, and we still watch that. So there's always going to be a market for it. There's always going to be a target audience.
Hey, they work with what they got, right? That's how they created Godzilla. Okay, the dude in the suit.
Are we talking about now or before?
Back then.
Okay.
Now it's like CGI.
Yeah.
I figured as much. I mean, nobody's going to come down with an axe on a guy in a rubber suit.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. He's asking, like, oh, really?
So, like we stated, this review is going to have a ton of spoilers. So, if you haven't seen the movie, just beware. We're really not going to leave anything out because, honestly, as you'll see during the conversation, a lot of it is kind of expected. You know, we didn't really come into the movie with, you know, any other expectations other than what's actually happened in the film. So, but we'll save that for as we continue the conversation. So first things off, expectations. What were some of your guys' first expectations before seeing the movie? And remember, don't say what happened after you saw the movie. Just expectations before coming into the movie.
Expectations were kind of what happened in the movie, though.
Well, okay. General expectations. Well, like let's talk about general expectations.
The preview kind of told you everything. And it's like... Once you see the preview, you're like, okay, you kind of know what where they're heading to.
Yeah.
So,
like, loosely.
Yeah, like, I didn't even really have to... The only reason why I needed to see the movie is to know the ending. Yeah. Basically, that's all I needed. Because the preview already gave me everything I needed to know.
Yeah, so, like, basically, what I was assuming from the previews is, like, you're going to have, like, three fights. One Kong wins, one Godzilla wins, and then the other is somehow a draw. And I was wondering, how are we going to get to these plot points?
Yeah.
Okay, so you expected three battles between Godzilla and Kong to... act as...
Yes, because for some reason, they feel the need to stuff us with humans in these movies. And yeah, I don't know why.
We'll talk about that in a second. One of the biggest expectations that I had, honestly, I wanted to see how they were going to grow the MonsterVerse. Obviously, we've had several expectations with Monarch when they did the organization within the universe. We had expectations when they showed us, like, in Kong Skull Island, the wall and the different monsters there. And then with Godzilla King of Monsters, you had Ghidorah, you had Rodan, you had Mothra. I mean, there's still a ton more of Godzilla foes, if you will. There's that giant turtle that he fights, and there's, you know, there's a lot of different things. Not to mention, we haven't gotten to the point where we see the son of Godzilla. But that would assume that there's another Godzilla for him to, you know, have jolly time. So... But the expectation was that they were going to showcase how the universe was going to grow. Because that's what it is. That's really what it is. You don't want to just leave people off on a static motion of, like, okay, this is what's happening and that's how it's ending. Without any indication that, okay, by the way, we are growing it like this. So that was the biggest expectation. And so after the film ended, I can honestly say... they kind of dropped the ball on that. First impressions, I was kind of disappointed out of my expectation in terms of wanting to see more of what is to come. And outside of Godzilla King of Monsters, there was no indication that this universe had more things to expect. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already saw King Kong, and we've already seen Godzilla, and most of the monsters from Godzilla King of Monsters didn't survive, or they went back into hiding. And the big hype was Godzilla facing King Kong. We had that, and I wanted to know where else was new and where we were going, and I didn't get that. I don't know. What did you feel?
Oh, I thought, like, well, where the movie ended is, like, you know, something is coming from here, because it seems like what they were pointing to.
Where?
Like, from the Hollow Earth area.
I mean, that's literally, like, a drop in the bucket of everything else, because obviously it didn't make any sense to me that they just showed that and then they just left it.
There is so much about Hollow Earth that doesn't make sense.
And you got to keep in mind, they did show a couple creatures in it showing that
literally smaller than King Kong. But then Godzilla's massive. I mean, he pretty much manhandled King Kong. All those little flying snaky things, those are like,
yeah, but the thing is, though, I think they were trying to tell us that there is life down there, so they wanted us to figure, okay, so there is life coming out, and maybe different sizes, not just the small ones.
Yeah,
maybe Kong hasn't seen them yet, and remember,
yeah,
there was a skeleton down there when he did arrive.
Yeah, I assume there was something bigger that he just hadn't ran into.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's the thing, though. You take every film prior to, and if it wasn't showcased in the film, it was showcased usually at the end of the film. And as we've only seen, there's four movies. The first one obviously was just the expose. It was the exposure of us to Godzilla. Second one, Kong Skull Island, we had that big old thing with Captain Marvel and Loki at the end of the film in that end credit scene or mid-credit scene where they're showing them, like, all the other different things. And then we had the last one where we showed all the different monsters and kind of indicating the world is a lot bigger than just Godzilla. And then in this one, we had the two most massive titans on the Earth do battle. One goes and visits home, you know, washes clothes, and then comes out. And it's like, okay, he brought a tool with him, but what else? And it seemed like there was no indication of what else could happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you look at filmmaking, you have to assume the lowest common denominator. And let's be honest, not everybody is quick to pick up on that. So... when I think of movies and giving something that people can aspire to believe for the next film, I'm looking at the person who is so obtuse, the person who just really cannot grasp the thing that they're saying, and have them see if they can understand where it's going to go from here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because this movie is not a smart movie. It's not an intelligent movie. You don't have to have a huge IQ to understand it. I mean, Ben watched it. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
But I'm saying you don't have to have a huge IQ to see it. It's like those Fast and the Furious movies. It's like those, you know, XXX Vin Diesel movies. It's like all those other kinds of movies that just you don't need a lot of smarts.
Because it's just all action.
It's just, yeah, it's usually just visual eye candy. If you're going to make a movie like that, you can't lump in there like, oh, but by the way, you know, we're also got this down the road, but you don't see it unless you freeze the frame at like this second right there and then to see this image of that and this and that. So for me, I'm like, that kind of disappointed me because I'm thinking, okay, there are people out there who are not as adept to watching all the little things when we watch it, or at home, they could see it 10 times like, oh, I never saw that. You know, there are people like that. So for this movie, it has done that for the last three films, in recognizing the lowest common denominator and exposing what are some of the few next steps, if not just the next step, where the film is going, and then showcase like, okay, this is where we're going, or this is what we can do. This, I felt like they stopped at the doorstep and they're like, okay, bye, and then the movie ended. Like, do you not get where I'm coming from?
No, I get where you're coming from.
What do you think?
This movie, it doesn't always do the best with its own premise, and I feel like this is probably a continuation of that. But for instance, going back to my main gripe of the human characters again, why, like, at this point, especially at this point, why? You've already set up the monsters, they just shove them in the background so much more.
Yeah, as we get into this, I do want to talk about that as well, because it was like, what about you, Ben? What do you think about the idea of where it is and how it left off? Just in general terms. We'll get into specifics later.
I feel like they kind of just dropped it at the cliff. Like, they didn't really tell us much about the next movie. like you said, how they always give you, like, a taste of the next part of what's going to happen, you know, like the monsters and, you know, the earth in the middle and so forth and so forth. So, yeah, I was expecting a little more, didn't get as much as I wanted. And, yeah, I'm kind of with Spence with the people. That's kind of pointless of what they did. Like, they could have done more, but they didn't.
We're still having this.
And let's kind of just jump into this, because the biggest issue, I think, and I have to admit, I agree, the biggest problem this movie has are the human actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think you have, let me see, 1, 2, 3. You have three different plot devices that are happening in this. You have the search for the Hollow Earth, the entry into Hollow Earth, and using King Kong to help find it. You have the evil corporate overlords who are trying to create this massive machine to combat Godzilla and any other Titan. The third plot is Stranger Things in Hawaii, where...
I got more of Discount Nancy Drew and not the Hardy Boys.
You have Millie Bobby Brown, a conspiracy theorist. I don't even know who... Do you know the name of the guy who... Oh, Tyree Henry. Brian Tyree Henry, sorry. And what's his name?
Julian
Dennison, yeah. Who played the really angry kid from Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. He was also I don't know if you ever guys saw it, Taika Waititi did a movie in New Zealand called Hunt for the Wilder People.
No, it's on my watch list. Ever since Netflix showed me a clip of it, I was like, what?
It is so funny. Yeah, intern Amy, I made her watch it a couple months back, and her daughter saw it, and they could not stop saying his name, because they sing him a song.
Oh, yeah, that was the clip. Yeah.
Oh, Ricky Baker.
It was ridiculous.
It was. It's a really great movie. Unfortunately, he grew up, and so he came. He was in this movie, and they do this whole, like Spencer said, this like Discount Nancy Drew thing where they're trying to figure out what's the underneath plot of everything and blah blah blah. The first two, I feel like, are important to the overall story. I like the first two.
The first two movies?
Plots. The first two plots. With the search for Hollow Earth and the corporate overlords who are employing those people to find the Hollow Earth.
Yeah, both those things make a lot of sense.
The third
and
thing
they're connected.
Is just... Yeah. Yeah, and they're connected, exactly. Yeah. The third thing is like... Okay, I get it. You want Millie Bobby Brown to use this as a vehicle for her career. I get that. Apparently, that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Poor Kyle Chandler. He looks like he needed to go back to his rest home. Appeared in two scenes, and it just didn't make sense.
Also, worst parent of the year.
Right?
I'm texting you. Where are you? What? Like, and also, I'm sorry. Did I just not pay attention? Why was he, like, why did he leave the country? And not say anything because weren't they both in America when this started?
I thought they were in Hawaii.
That's America.
Well,
it's an island.
The island of Hawaii. It's not exactly attached, but yes.
I consider that America. I'm sorry.
Well, technically, you're right.
Yes, you're right. Technically, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were there.
Yeah. Why did he leave the country and then not really say anything to his daughter about it? Like,
maybe he got caught up in the moment.
And mind you, it's not a short trip. From Hawaii to Japan. That is not a short trip. Was it Japan or Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, which is in China.
Oh, so on the other side of Japan still. Yeah. Like, that's not a short trip. He had at least like 2 days to consider, did I talk to my daughter? Did I tell her I was leaving? I think I told her I was leaving. Because the moment he sees her towards the end of the film, it's like, oh, you're here.
I would be pissed.
Well, you got to keep
measure.
Well, you got to remember though, at part of the movie, he did text her. Like, it shows like multiple texts of him trying to get a hold of her. And I understand he should have been more concerned.
He works for the military.
I know.
He should have access. Like, there should be implants in this child. Knowing what happened in the last film,
I'm fairly certain.
I mean,
like,
his daughter literally, like, went to the other team with his mom, with her mom, and were working for the bad guys. Like, for good reasons, air quotes. But nevertheless, I'd be like, look, I get it. I love you. You're my daughter. But yeah, I got to track you somehow. Because
I'm
don't know.
Pretty sure
yeah.
you can find my iPhone on her phone. Because, like, he's the parent.
Oh, you mean that Apple device?
Yeah.
Okay,
Don't make it. Don't turn this into that.
I love making Spencer talk about Apple devices because he hates them.
Not a tech podcast.
I see that with a smile on his face, huh? He's enjoying it.
Anyway. Anyway, so, like, she would be grounded into oblivion. What do you mean you left the country?
Yeah.
Why are you here in China?
Yeah. And it didn't make any sense. Like, why isn't this guy, Brian Tyree Henry's character...
Why is he a child? Why was he following around these two children? Like, you're the adult in the scenario. One, do not take them to a dilapidated building.
Yep.
Two, do
that
not
could
take
be radioactive.
Them.
I mean, I could have swore in the last film, we really just kind of solidified Godzilla is radiation. He uses radiation.
Yeah, we forgot about
so it's
that.
Like, apparently, like, in the very first Godzilla, when Godzilla attacked that one place, it was irradiated. And yeah. now, it's like in the last film, he's like, oh, they needed radiation to wake him up heal him. Mm-hmm. So... Why would he just show up and be like, oh, yeah, if Godzilla was here, then definitely we need to... Like, these people are not going to have kids for the rest of their lives. Like, they are all sterile now.
Well, I'm pretty sure Godzilla switched his fuel from nuclear to solar power.
Right. Yeah. New age, clean, renewable energy. I hate to say it, but Millie Bobby Brown is completely pointless in this movie.
Yeah.
Her... And even the conspiracy theorist, he's pointless. Ricky Baker, he's completely useless.
He tried to hack into a computer.
And then says he doesn't know how to hack into a computer.
He just started randomly.
I think the reason why they threw them in there was to, like, show what they were trying to build, basically. That was it.
Just show up at the end of the movie with Mechagodzilla. You don't even need to... Like, in the beginning of the movie... freaking Bernie finds a mysterious robotic object.
That's his name, Bernie.
I looked at that. And I was like, well, clearly this is an eye for Mechagodzilla. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what, like, I don't know how this guy didn't understand what he was looking at, really. But, like, I figured it out, and I'm not even in that universe.
Yeah. If this guy has been, like, investigating this company for however much time?
Let's talk about this. Because he is the stupidest person. You're trying to tell me you are publishing a podcast that anyone can download, exposing company secrets, and nobody that's popular enough for what's her face like to find it, and just no one has even begun litigation against this man or have because two kids found him in an afternoon. Like, what? You're a multi-million dollar company. You couldn't bother to find the guy who's like, I'm going to take this company down.
Or I'd at least like, be on some kind of, like, some kind of government watch list. Like, people be monitoring him and saying, like, where is he at? Why is he doing this? And what exactly is he talking about? Because if you are in an age where there are massive 50 to 60 story monsters that roam around, any company who deals with or responds to those types of things or has, quote, answers for the huge titans and beasts that rule this earth, you're going to want to have some type of government agency watching very closely at whatever they're doing and monitor the people who are giving secrets out. That's what espionage is all about. People send soldiers to do that. If someone's going to do it for free, the government's like, I'll take it. Uncle Sam wants your money. Like, seriously. So it's like he could have been like a discount 007, you know, and totally double, you know, 003.5. I don't know. But it could have been something like that. And then immediately he gets killed. And that's the end of that story. Like,
yeah, that, I actually thought he was going to die.
Oh, 100%.
And that would have made a lot more sense.
I wish this story
thought more.
Well, I just, that whole third part, like it just, it diluted everything in it. It's like having a soda and then someone putting water in the soda. It's like, it's a great soda. I don't need anything else. And they throw in water and it's like, well, you just watered it down. It took away from the overall benefit of the film of everything that was happening. Because let's be honest, I thought there was adequate enough time between the human story, the monster story, and the corporate story. And how they eventually were going to come together in the end. And obviously they were going to pop out of the earth with King Kong. And they were going to be like trying to scramble in. They're going to help King Kong. And the corporates are like, oh, we're going to do this. And that's where Godzilla is drawn to. Like, it made sense. It was like the perfect storm. And then you bring in Eleven and put her in the middle of all this and like have her do that fake cry that she does every time. I'm sorry, but I'm done with the cry. Like, that's all she can do. She can cry on demand. That's it. Like, honestly, does she do anything else in this movie?
In this movie, no.
I'm sorry. Where else is she doing stuff for you, Spence? I'm trying to figure out.
No.
what's happening? He's like, in the movie? No, but she came over yesterday and... that's what it sounded like. I'm like, you and Billy got a thing going on.
Okay, you know, you're going into a very dangerous
Bobby Brown.
No, I don't accept anything on this. I also want to go back to this whole like Godzilla attacking. Oh gosh, what is the company's name in this movie?
Oh, who cares?
Yeah, whatever. They're attacking this company. And the thing is everyone is quick to go, well, I guess Godzilla just hates us now. Even though they've had, like, plenty of lead up to, like, well, Godzilla seems to have enough intelligence to only really go after things that are a threat to him for the most part. And I don't understand why no one was like, well, why did Godzilla attack you specifically? Because what he did was he apparently came out of the ocean, attacked one company building, and then left. And that seems highly suspicious to me.
It created a lot more questions than it did actually answer anything.
Well, I feel like it should have made everyone in the movie question, why did that happen? But no, they're just like, he hates us now. Like, why? What? Why? Like, I feel like, you know, like, because you've got Eleven going around. She's like, this doesn't make sense. And I'm like, why is no one listening to her this one time? Because she's right.
I think it is Apex. I think it's Apex.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Which is kind of a common name. It's just...
Yeah, Apex Cybernetics.
Yeah, there were so many things about this movie that just I felt like so the movie's not that long. Let's be honest. Let's talk about runtime real quick.
It felt long when it was on the wrong parts of the movie.
Well, it was an hour and 50. No, very true. Because it's like, why are we spending so much on him pretending to hack into this thing?
Why are we spending so much time listening to this insane podcast?
Oh yeah. We were like practically listening to full episodes in the movie.
Yeah.
What about you, Ben? What did you think was a pretty useless part of the film?
Oh, man. Like you said, it was the kids. The kids, like, if they stumbled onto something about Godzilla, then okay, I could, that's like in the originals, his scales had the ability to heal, which is why every time he was attacked, he came back the next time for the next fight already healed. It was like the healing ability with Wolverine. It's the same thing. Mm. And in the original, the scientists were trying to use it to heal cancer and heal all these other things. And I thought that's kind of how they were going to go for it. Like, oh, okay, well, they're going to end up finding something on the internet or whatever that on the computers in the laboratory. Like, okay, he's going to get into them. He's going to find it. Okay, this is what's going on. This is what they really wanted. Okay. But it ended up just leading to them just running around in circles in the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And it was just like them chasing the tail of the cat. It's like it doesn't make sense to me on that point.
That's also, you bring up a good point. I forgot at the beginning he was after that, like, information to release into the public. He never did anything with that.
Yeah, exactly. He had it in his pocket the entire time.
Oh, no. And then he showed
them a flash drive as if that does anything. He's
like, I have this. And it's like, oh.
That could be empty.
It's a flash drive. And they took him at his word. It's like, really?
Oh, you have a flash drive? Okay, oh, I guess cool. You're a trustworthy adult that we'll go to China with.
It's a Swiss Army flash drive. There you go. What else you got in there? A wipe disc too?
See, like, and like he said, you know, I was expecting something to come out. Like, okay, there was something on Godzilla that they knew, and they just never told anybody.
See, what we missed is the deleted scene where on the Swiss Army thing, it also has a printer. So he's going to print all the documents right there. And that's part of another issue that I have. The story, the direction, the writing of this movie was very, very basic. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a scene where Millie Bobby Brown's character, after hearing about the attacks at Apex in the beginning of the film, she actually goes to see her dad. Because
leave school to go see.
It's like, oh, okay, you get, okay, you're special. You're special. You get to leave school because you actually tried to take over the world with your mom. You know, things like that. And mind you, little side note. Why the heck is she not in jail? She tried to help the bad people take over the world with the monsters, and she helped them.
Wait, 11?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. She's a minor.
You can't juvie. I'm sorry. Okay, they have jail for young kids. Not to mention, she's what, 18 now or something? Well,
no, she deserves. Well, how old was she at the time?
Who cares?
At the time of the crime. That's she when you get tried.
She
can do stuff
with her mind, okay? So she needs to go to jail.
Like, I think you're getting confused with what movie you're talking about.
They're all the
now.
Same character. If you think about it, they're all the same character. She bleeds out of one nostril. She cries at the other. So what I'm saying, though, is that she is technically a criminal, and I don't
have been
see
tried as a criminal though.
Excuse me, you tried to control monsters that are massive to take over the world for this organization that's like Greenpeace on steroids, you know, for whatever they're doing, they're over their mission, and it's like, why is she allowed to be free? At least, like, why is she not on like house arrest or like strapped to a tree somewhere? I don't know.
Okay, I don't remember that in the movie enough. To really come, but what did she
made
even
the choice.
Do?
She and her mom.
She was a
willingly,
child.
Willingly, excuse me. She made the choice. She could have went with her dad. She could have said no.
No, no one's gonna No one's gonna convict her on that.
Are you not aware of the government system that we currently live in? Of course, they'll do it.
No, she. You said it herself. She can cry on demand. I didn't know. Out. You kidding me? You kidding me?
Either way, I think she belongs in jail. But the story element, when she leaves school and she goes to see her dad, obviously this attack is on all the televisions, it's on all over the news. She goes to see him and she's like, hey, you know, this thing that he's doing, it looks very similar to what we did in the last movie. Maybe we should look at, no, we got this covered. You just need to, like, hello? This child probably knows the way that system works more than anyone else because, hello, the mom got killed. And why would she not be taken seriously in this particular moment?
It doesn't make any sense.
And Kyle Chandler's too focused on his early editions, you know, back when he did that show. Like, I don't get what his whole purpose is
here.
He was
holding a
Chicago. He's like, I know what's going to happen. I got tomorrow's newspaper. It's okay. Like, I don't get that whole scene. It's like, sometimes people never change. It's like, what the heck? What happened to the last, between the last movie and now? Like, did he have a bad breakup or something? It's like his wife changed in the last minute. I mean, although she still should have gone to jail if she was still alive. That's probably why she let herself get killed. Because she's like, you're not going to catch me, copper. And like let herself get squished or something. But yeah, that whole scene, the dialogue is just so clunky. And it's like, oh, well, sometimes things don't ever change. And it's like, well, that's bleak. And then she just walks away like, oh, she's got all this information. Your daughter is tenacious. She's going to do something.
How did
he not expect her to run away from home?
I think part of the problem is that she was
listening. We have bad parents in this universe.
Well, yes.
Plain and simple.
Like, she's listening to this conspiracy podcast, and so now he just is suspect on all her information.
Oh, yeah. She's drinking that Kool-Aid hard. She's like, no. So-and-so said blah, 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 blah. I'm listening to this net. And it's like, is he like the placeholder for Alex Jones or something? Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, the problem is
the water's turning the frogs gay.
The problem is
that's
with
something Alex Jones said.
I guess that makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it?
The problem is that I do not know enough about this universe to know if like there is any fact behind any of the nonsense he's spouting.
Oh yeah,
because like I don't know if he's like right and a conspiracy nut, or if he's wrong and conspiracy nut.
And here's the sad thing. Any employee could say all these things.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem is this. In my mind, if I'm giving it any credibility, like the movie and the organization and the companies, whatever, if I'm giving it any credibility, if they hadn't moved in on the stuff he was saying, more than likely he was wrong.
Yeah.
So
it felt like it, especially like, with the way
he reacted. Because he says he knows about all this, but then he's walking in there and trying to find proof of something.
Yeah.
Which means he probably didn't know about anything in the first place.
Yeah,
or else,
it makes that very true.
He probably would have taken a quick picture or something.
Yeah, a picture with his 1999 cell phone. Like, what kind of resolution are you getting on that day?
Aside from that, he could have got a camera or something.
He could have, but he didn't.
Well,
you saw him going.
I'm curious to know how much he gets paid that he has that kind of phone.
Not enough.
Because, like.
Well, apparently he's getting paid enough to have recording equipment and uploading it to God knows where. I don't know. It just, given the credibility, if you could. That would be one of the areas to be like, well, okay, so then if they didn't move on him, then does that mean all the stuff he said was crap? And then if they didn't have the credibility, why didn't they move on him sooner? I don't know. Ernie's just Bernie, whatever his name is. He doesn't deserve the name Bernie. Bernie, is like just the biggest throwaway character because he does nothing for the story. Like, nothing.
Yeah,
the eye led to nothing. He looked at it and he's like, oh, and then it transitioned to the next scene.
Yeah,
and it's like when he talked, he didn't even talk about it in a podcast.
I've seen the info. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. And it's like, I don't get their whole purpose in the film
other than
just to carry Millie Bobby Brown into having another role in another Godzilla movie.
Yeah,
because more than likely in the next film, she's probably going to have her dad's role. And he's going to go back to, you know, PAX TV or wherever it came from. And early edition, I don't know. And it's like, I don't.
I feel like
he opens
the
newspaper. He's like, your daughter's going to die. I have to save her. Oh my.
he opens that. Yeah, nothing bad. Okay, she's all right. She's fine.
I feel like it was like they were just filling in time. They had a certain time frame and they had to meet it kind of thing. Like, okay, well, we kind of finished the movie. Let's do these parts now.
And after the Snyder cut, I'd believe that.
Right?
Because it sounds like HBO/AT&T/WD is like, okay, we need this out.
the fact that we had to say all those things.
We need this to be at least 2 hours.
/AT&T/Capcom or
whatever. Well, this movie's only an hour and a half. Well, you need to expand it by 30 minutes.
Right?
You have to make your quota.
Make your quota. You got to just, I don't care what you got to do. If you got to dance in front of a camera, you're going to put more time in there.
Get that 11 girl in this movie.
And oddly enough, the director was actually asked about this when he was talking to Variety. And he explained at the why the movie's runtime was a little less than 2 hours, which a little less is, it's an hour and 53 minutes, so it's not that less. But he stated that this was on purpose and that he prefers to keep his movies under the 2-hour mark. He also said that if Godzilla vs. Kong were to run for 3 hours, it likely wouldn't include an additional hour of the Titan duking it out. He stated, a lot of fans online were all asking me, is this going to be a 3-hour film? When it was announced that it was a little under 2 hours, they immediately thought, when is the director's cut coming out? I like movies under 2 hours. I think if you do a movie over 2 hours, you better have a damn good reason for it to be that long. At the end of the day, if you're going to make the movie into 3 hours, you're not going to get an extra hour of monsters fighting. You're going to get an extra hour of people talking about monsters.
Okay, but the fact that he even said that makes it sound like he knew that people wanted an extra hour of monsters fighting.
Yeah.
And mind you, talking logistically, mind you, if it costs more money for him to do CGI to do all that, then maybe, okay, I get it. Well, here's the thing. The majority of the movie is CG anyway.
Yeah.
Like, except for some of the onset
except scenes, for the humans?
Well, no, not even that, because sometimes, like, the whole scenes where Adam Skarsgård and, or, I'm sorry, what's his name? Alexander Skarsgård. There you go, Alexander Skarsgård and all them. That's all CG. That's all on the backdrop. You know, nobody actually jumped onto a monkey's chest and, you know, did that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he hopped down from that gorilla so fast, I was like, you're dead. Like, you're on dead. Him still. There's no way you're going to get off.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If there was a standout performer in this movie, if we were going to say one specific standout character.
The gorilla.
Yeah.
Well, human character.
Oh. Okay.
I would have to say the little girl. Gia, yeah. The deaf girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, that's the only person in this movie that actually made me care as to whether or not she survived. Mostly because she's a child. I don't want to see a child be squished by Kong.
I was going to say, she didn't really do much in it.
This isn't Rampage, okay? But no, she communicated with Kong.
Yeah.
Apparently,
they taught him a little bit of sign language.
Oh, yeah. They got that. They got that. What was that movie? Mighty Joe Young.
Yeah.
Got that Mighty Joe Young thing going on with Charlize Theron. But yeah, I feel like out of everybody, she was the main person who actually seemed to care and be genuine on screen. Alexander Skarsgård, he does the same role every time. Millie Bobby Brown, we already mentioned that. Brian Tyree Henry just was completely useless. Even the bad guy, Demian Bashir, so like cookie cutter. He just seemed like, oh, yeah, you had bad intentions from the get-go. We knew you were bad from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said something in the promotional video where I was like, yeah, you're the bad guy.
You're the bad guy. Yeah. And I think this goes to also a separate conversation about, because I think we've talked about this before on the show, about trailers who give too much information away. Do you guys think that this movie suffered from a trailer that gave out too much?
I don't know, because like to me it really only gave out the skeleton of like what the movie's like, you know, layout was. But I guess I didn't like the only thing I was really hoping from the trailer was like, don't be human focused as much, and it was. So I don't really know if it gave away a lot, but it just gave away like what I was going to, like, you know, my expectations. So I don't know. I'd say probably no.
What about you, Ben?
What was the question?
Do you think that the trailers gave away too much of the information about the movie?
No, not really. It gave you enough to make you want to watch it, because I watched it because I wanted to see the ending, which is what they didn't give.
Yeah.
And before that, I already knew, okay, yeah, it's so-and-so versus so-and-so. Okay, well, anytime it's a movie like that, automatically it's going to be a draw. Look at Forbidden Kingdom. It was Jet Li and Jackie Chan. What happened? They fought. What happened? They had a draw. Why? Because they didn't want to show who was better than the other. That's how I feel about this movie. Eventually, they were going to show a tie because they don't want their fans being upset. Oh, well, King Kong could have done this. Godzilla could have done this.
If we're being technical, it wasn't really a draw. The first one, he had help from the Americans.
Yeah. And well, you got to keep in mind, the first one didn't really win.
He just...
But in the first one, though...
They both conceded and they just went their separate ways.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
But in the first fight, it was on Godzilla's grounds.
Yeah.
Which is the water. He didn't like the water. You can tell right away that he didn't like the water.
He's a land creature. What do you expect?
Exactly. So in the second fight, it was on land. So he was able to fight him better on that one.
And he still lost.
With his magic axe.
And he still lost. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
So I think the idea though between those battles is that Kong had to learn to concede and recognize
he's not the, king.
They're both somewhat equally matched, if not they're not each other's enemy ultimately, which is what the little girl was trying to sign, like friend, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the last part of the movie, or let's talk about the best parts of the movie, which are the action sequences.
Yeah.
I have to admit, for every penny that they didn't put into their screenwriters and the story element of this movie, they sincerely put into all of their CG effects, because the CG in this movie was stupendous.
Yes.
Yeah. I would have, I earnestly, and now that I'm vaccinated, I may actually do it. I may actually go and see this movie either in IMAX or at a theater, because those fight scenes were pretty incredible. There were scenes where the scene you were mentioning, Ben, about the fighting over in the water on the battleships.
Yeah.
There was a scene where Kong comes out of the water and he shakes, and you can see every single droplet just coming off of him like a mist. And it was like, oh, that's detail. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like I think the CG in this movie outweighed extremely by a wide margin outmarched the acting. Everything else, pretty much. Just everything else.
Yeah, pretty much everything else. The thing about the CG is that, like, you know, a lot of times you're like watching like a movie with CG and you're like, well, that's not really there. There are certain parts in this movie where I'm like, where I kind of forgot he was fake, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was that like detailed and realistic.
Yeah.
So,
well, that impressive. And like the gray hair on him, it looked like gray hair on him. It doesn't look color.
Yeah,
like you could tell it was fake.
Yeah, everything seemed very natural. The motions of Kong, the motions that he would make, the
facial
features that he was doing, the different gestures, even his weight and how he moved. Because one of the biggest things that you have when it comes to kaiju or man in suit movies is most times when they're not considering physics, they're moving very fast. When you're that big, you do not move that fast. You move at the speed you're capable of, which is usually slow because you're carrying so much weight with you. In this movie, you knew these people, these creatures were huge, and they acted out on it in terms of physics because their movements were slow, but they were intentional and powerful. Nobody in this actually looked like they were lean and quick, not like the last film, like with Ghidorah, but this one just seemed very much like the physics were on point, like 100%.
Yeah, that, and he looked older too, like way older, like he like past his prime. Yeah,
well,
kind of
it looks like he would at least like 20, what? 30, 40 years.
Yeah, like Kong Island, he looked young.
That was during the 70s.
Yeah, so, Kong Island looked he looked young.
Yeah,
and then now in this one, when they have him captured and everything, he looks like he's just like an old man kind of looking.
Old man, I mean, Kong.
Yeah, because I mean, he has a lot of gray hair. He doesn't have.
But
a lot
the thing
of black
is, this
hair.
Is that he's not. He's not old, because even John C. Reilly had mentioned in the first Kong Skull Island, he goes, he's still young. He's still got a lot of time to grow, and he's already been in existence there for already a long time. Like, they've never, they didn't establish when he began there with the Skull Crawlers and all them.
Yeah.
You know, so seeing that and then seeing where he is now, you can only imagine how much further he's going to go. And then, like I said, they still have to introduce, like, the son of Godzilla, and then I don't know if there was ever... I think, actually, here's the funny thing. They had a son of King Kong, which was really, really, really ridiculous. And it was done the same year as one of the King Kong movies that came out. But it was just complete garbage and ridiculous. But I have to say, I would rather have had more action sequences in this movie, more scenes where I see King Kong, or Kong, because he's not really king yet, Kong kind of recognizing his roots and where he's at, like how he does when he actually makes it to the Hollow Earth area.
Yeah.
Godzilla kind of being like this investigator of like finding the signatures of different things and going towards them and defending things. I would have preferred more of that than what we got in this movie. I don't know if you agree. What do you think?
Because I had tons of questions of like, who made the throne room and the castle?
Yeah, like
the Castle Kong. What? How? like there were so many questions on what the heck was happening down there.
Yeah. Well, I feel like they were like trying to show that they were more intelligent down there because they were capable of making things compared to just Kong just laying around. Because that's what it looked like, because you got to think about who made the axe.
Yeah.
You know? And who's the ones that welded it? Well, they're the ones that created it. Well, they had to be smart.
How long was the gap between when somebody wielded it and it was just there?
Yeah.
You know? And apparently, what is this power that it creates? And is it solely from the axe, or is it from what's underneath the ground? Like, there's a lot of those questions that I wish it dug into, you know? And I guess the way the axe looks, I don't know if it tosses the theory that the axe is actually built out of a scale that's removed from Godzilla, one of his back scales. It looks like it.
Yeah. Well, I think it is, because it's capable of harnessing and holding the energy
that Godzilla has.
Yes and no. I mean, there's, like I said, there's a lot of questions still that have yet to be answered. And this movie could have spent more time on that, honestly. Yeah,
especially with the Ouroboros charging axe scene. I was like, did they design that? Like, because, like, there's so many questions about what the heck is happening down in the Hollow Earth area, along with, like, just, like, I don't even fully understand why they needed Kong to even get down there when it seemed like they knew where they were going. Like, because
they didn't really show, like, what the purpose of having Kong there was. Because the way Alexander Skarsgård explained it, he's like, well, we need him like a compass. He's the one who's going to show us the way. He's the one who knows where that's at. And I'm like, at no point in time did I ever see this monkey kind of guide them in any direction. He sat there, sad most of the time. Then he got attacked. And then he got flown in helicopters. And it's like, when is he giving directions? Like, go left. Like, I don't know. I never saw
I thought once they crossed into the portal, I was like, okay, this is where Kong is going to be hitting. And like, nope, they're just on the other side. And I was like, what did we need him for exactly? Yeah. That was the part I was confused about.
Yeah, that kind of took out the draw of needing him to leave his current habitat. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, hey, it served their purpose.
Well, I thought it was to, like, he can have his new home aside from finding that power source.
But they had to find it.
Yeah.
That's the question. And
if they knew the location, they just didn't know where in the earth it was at.
There's literally one giant hole.
No, that's what, like, I'm saying. They know the location of the entrance. But once they get down there, that's probably why they needed him, because somehow he probably knew or something.
No. I believe, so oddly enough, I think it takes from the Pacific Rim idea, like the ideology, in that in order for them to cross the breach, they have to cross the breach with a kaiju so that way they can pass through. Because there is a point where they do look like they're going through like a wormhole of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that defeats the purpose of it, because they're able to jump out of there in the scene towards the tail end.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, I don't think it's like that, because...
Well, that's the only other reason I can think of.
Well, they jumped out because of Godzilla. He drilled a hole through the planet.
True. Which means they didn't need him in the first place.
Super weird. Like, okay, you can drill a hole in the earth.
Yeah.
But they were probably trying to show how powerful he really was. That the entire time he was fighting, he never used his full power.
I mean,
until that point,
hire that guy for construction projects. Godzilla Construction.
Yeah, try giving him directions. So with everything stated and everything we've mentioned, was there anything that was a surprise to you guys in this movie? Was there anything that you weren't expecting? Because from what it sounds like, a lot of what we saw out of the trailer seemed to pretty much coincide with what we expected to come out of this film. Was there any part of it that was unexpected?
The only thing that was unexpected for me was the part where Godzilla signed home, like indicating he could speak, because I thought he was about to go off on this lady.
Wait. I'm sorry, what? Godzilla or Kong?
Oh, Kong, sorry.
I was like, wait a second. When did Godzilla...
His little arm.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah, but because I was like, oh, he can talk? He's about to lay the verbal smackdown on you, lady. But no, he's just like signing home all the time, which just kind of, okay, fine. But like, I was hoping, like...
I mean, this isn't George of the Jungle. The
I was hoping he'd pull like a Coco.
Hey, man, he's a depressed monkey. Leave him alone.
I mean, come on, man.
What about you, Ben?
I kind of knew where everything was going. I wasn't really surprised at the end fight that he was going to come out, and I knew they were going to double team him basically, and they were going to be basically taking turns hitting him and whatnot. So I wasn't really too surprised about that. And I wasn't really surprised when, you know, Kong held up the axe and, you know, he was pinned down and all of a sudden Godzilla just charges it for him. And I'm like,
well, that was in the trailer. I'm talking about the part where he's swinging the axe, or
no? I'm talking about when Kong's pinned up against Mechagodzilla.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Godzilla sees it. And
they then literally just, like, took that from like from Marvel. It was like it completely out of Endgame. It's like, come on.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I wasn't surprised about it. I was just waiting for who the next one that they were going to be fighting. So I was just like watching it just for that.
If I saw Kong stick out his hand, his axe just go flying towards.
Amazing. Oh, that would be pretty sweet. That would be pretty sweet.
It'd be ridiculous, but I'd be into it. So here, another tiny issue with this movie that I have. Yeah. Mechagodzilla. So they decided to basically use the psychic link from Ghidorah, which seems like that would be an organic thing versus a bone thing, but okay.
Yeah.
So they stuff this into a robot.
So first off, they make an office space out of one of the skulls from Ghidorah.
Yeah.
That
the center one.
Whatever one. they make a home office out of it. Like literally there's a cooler with soda or whatever in there or something. Like it's a whole office kind of thing. And then they actually put the other skull in him?
Yeah, they put something from the other skull in him so it would work.
And it totally went Chucky because the overload just created this like uniquely self-autonomous kind of...
Yeah, so was that Ghidorah in Mechagodzilla? Is that what they were trying to say?
It was Chucky.
Because I was confused. I'm like, what is causing it to do anything right now?
What you didn't see was the voodoo ritual that they did before this. It doesn't make any sense. And it's like, oh, well, these skulls have psychic interlink even when the creature's dead. So they talk to each other.
And its head is hollow and there's no brain here.
Oh, yeah. Because it's in the earlobes, you know? It's in the bones, you know? Just like, you know how old people say, I feel it in my bones. That's all it was. Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Let's be honest. It just didn't make any sense. And it's like, how are you communicating? And then how are you transferring all this power from the center of the earth to this machine that is like thousands and thousands and thousands of miles above the ground?
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
And how are they able to step out?
Replicating the power.
How? Like,
because I don't know how that's what the thing said on the computer. It said replicating energy.
It didn't make
50%, 60%. Okay, I'm just telling you what I saw.
I know. I was confused by that.
Here's the bigger question. Why did those people, when they got out of those ships, when Kong was looking at his throne, why did they not immediately turn into pancakes? Because with the amount of pressure,
the gravity. I meant to talk about this earlier.
Yeah, gravity.
This does no. That doesn't make any sense. Well, like the gravity works in two different directions. Like there's a certain point where you cross over in the hollow earth, where there's a ground above and you can jump up to it. And I'm like, doesn't that mean the ground top side would be pointing out and everyone would fly into space if that was happening?
Yep.
And at what point would that invert? Like,
It makes no sense. And it's like, okay. And essentially they make these hover cars that, I mean, that's what they are. They're hover cars. And it's like, how is this supposed to, I mean, I get it. It's reinforced, but it's like, I don't know. Like for me, there is a ton of pressure coming. It's like people who go to the bottoms of the ocean have to wear like heavy gear.
Yeah,
these people are underneath that.
Yeah,
why are they not like having difficulty breathing? Why are they even able to stand? It doesn't make any sense.
They went through a portal and that
yeah, that makes perfect. And then in like 20 minutes later they're looking up and, you know, Godzilla made a little chimney spout for them to crawl through. That makes perfect sense.
Just Godzilla stared down at
him. He's like, what are y'all doing down there? This movie has a lot of, like, if you look at the human aspects of this movie, anything that pertains to humans, whether it was the corporation, now that I'm thinking about it with the expedition and the corporation and Eleven and her Stranger Things folks, it seems like anything that has to do with the human aspect of this movie,
it's always just bad.
Was completely lacking.
I don't think they thought that one through.
No.
Oh, no doubt.
I feel like that's always been the problem. And I'm like, when are you going to take these dang people out of this movie? Like I was really hoping that there would be a lot less in this movie.
You would think.
But, like, when I saw, like, Eleven crying in that first trailer, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I'm going to put this out there. I am done watching Millie Bobby Brown
until
cry.
Stranger Things 4.
No, even then, I'd be like, I'm good on it. I want to see it, but I don't want to see, like, every single time we see her in anything. I literally just saw Enola Holmes the other day, mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, on Netflix, the mm-hmm. story of Sherlock Holmes' sister.
Yes.
She cries in that one, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are you so prone to crying? Like, is this your, like...
That's her go-to move.
Yeah, is that like your go-to move?
Power move.
It's like, yeah. On cue, do it.
And it's like, she cries. It's like, oh.
And you're wondering how she didn't get jail time.
So wrapping this up, was there anything else we wanted to highlight or complain about or talk about?
The company, Apex Solutions, has probably the worst security I've ever
seen.
Oh,
no doubt. No doubt.
They had three people just wandering around in their top secret facility where they're building their mecha robot.
Oh, yeah.
And they did nothing about it.
That's not true. They broke the glass. that wasn't even bulletproof.
Yeah, I was like, what are you going to do with that glass?
Hey, and that was like their main computer there, too. That was the funny part. Like, they're doing things on... And I'm thinking, okay, it's bulletproof. They're going to hit it. It ain't going to break. They're going to start yelling, whatever, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Now, he hit it the first, like...
That,
I'm like,
that,
wow.
Changed my mind. That actually surprised me during this movie. When that just instantly shattered, I was like, why even have the lock? Like, it's so pointless. They're the dumbest company.
All right. Wrapping this up, let's go ahead and go around the table. We're going to review it, whether or not the film passes or fails in terms of story and delivery. And how many monocles out of 5? So I'll go ahead and start it out. The film... Dang it. Can't believe I went first. So unfortunately, the film does not pass for me as the story, now that we've kind of, you know, scraped it out and kind of taken a good look at it, isn't as cohesive as I thought. I do have a little bit of trouble with the formula of how it goes through the whole plot device. So the film doesn't pass it doesn't pass overall. However, in terms of monocles, I am going to give it 2.5 out of 5. Now, I'm going to give it for the two fight scenes and half of the scene or half a star or half a monocle for the little girl. That's it. Because I think this movie visually is stunning. I'm glad that it's only an hour and 50 minutes long because then that means minimal time. You can just kind of focus on the fighting scenes and whatnot. But outside of that, there was really not much else to kind of go on. What about you, Ben?
I would say it's a pass for me only because it's an upgrade from the original King Kong versus Godzilla. They're not in suits and anything like that. The CGI is really good, you know, and I would say I'd give it 4 monocles. You know, the
4 monocles?
Well, the fighting scenes were good. The visual effects were good. You know, the only reason why I'm not going to give it 5 because the actors that were in it. I think it could have been a lot better. I think the storyline could have been a little better. You know, they could have done a lot more with everything that was going on around, but they chose to keep it minimal, I feel. And they focused a lot on the animals, the creatures, more than anything else. So I would say it's a pass and it's a 4. I don't give it a full 5 because...
Oh, this guy. What about you, Spence?
Because this is really on the borderline of pass and fail for me.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think I'm going to fail it, though. Because there is just so much unnecessary, like, stuff added into the story that did not need to be there. Delete, like, Nancy Drew and her companions from the entire movie. It's still roughly the same movie. You just have to fidget, like, tiny parts. And it works just fine. Like, and then just those, like, the reason we stuck on those characters for so long is they really bothered me. Like, I was cringing for the first, like, 20 minutes of this movie just watching this guy go all over the place. I couldn't
handle
it. Which
guy? We're talking about
Bernie? We're talking about Bernie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, it was too much for me. So, it fails for, like, story stuff. For me, I'm going to give it three monocles, I really did like the fight scenes. I didn't like that was one of the things that came in this movie, and I didn't think that I was going to have a problem with, and I didn't, and I thought they did that part great. It's the whole rest of the movie. It's not awesome.
Thank you for your elaborate words there. Well, that wraps up another awesome review of Godzilla vs. Kong. Oh my gosh. Can't believe you gave it 4.
The fighting scenes were really good. I can't go against that.
Yeah, you do you, boo. That's all you, okay? I appreciate you guys for showing up for this episode. And if you want to check out all of our previous episodes, you can look at our website at filmlosophers.com. There we have over 150 episodes. You can check us out there. Also on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101. You can check us out there, talk to us, let us know what you think of the episodes, as well as you can find us on any streaming platform, anywhere you download or stream your podcast. That includes Audioboom, Libsyn, Player FM, Google Play, iTunes, Pandora, Spotify. We are everywhere where you listen to stuff. Right, Spence?
We are.
So, yeah, like I said, that about wraps up another awesome episode. And we appreciate any and all feedback. And if you haven't checked out this movie, you can check it out on HBO Max or at your local theaters. Yeah, this was fun. And thank you, Ben, for showing up and being a part of the conversation.
Thank you for the invite, sir.
So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm Ben.
Class dismissed.